Jeff Marlowe, this is how many shows for you with the Reduced Shakespeare Company? Complete Works of William Shakespeare is your fourth production with us?
The fourth script de RSC that I've learned, yeah, because I got to repeat America in Hong Kong and Singapore, but then this will be the fourth new one.
So this, you are an RSC veteran, and yet this Reduced Shakespeare just got real,
Hey, look at it.
Tiger Real has joined the Reduced Shakespeare Company, but sort of returning to.
Returning to. This will be the third time I have done the Shakespeare show, and I've done the America show before, but first time with the Reduced Shakespeare. I'm finally validated. I'm complete now.
You have done the Reduced Shakespeare Company scripts, but not with the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Correct.
Correct. Yes, but now you have come home to the mothership.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 220, Genuine Shakespeare Nerds. This week... Tonight, in fact, if you're listening today on February 21st, 2011, we begin our six-week tour of Belgium and Holland, performing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, for Belgians and Dutch people and whichever other Europeans and global citizens can make it to any of the 28 cities we're performing in. Matt Rippey will be joined by Jeff Marlowe and Tiger Real, who I spoke with last week as we were rehearsing and brushing up the show.
We've spent this time rehearsing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, so you guys can go off on your merry way into Belgium and Holland, bring the highlights to the lowlands, and tour for 6 weeks, 28 cities. And what I've had so much fun discovering is just what big, ginormous Shakespeare nerds you guys are. You guys really know your Shakespeare.
That's really sad that you think that.
Sad that I think you're a nerd, or sad that I'm able to spot.
You know a lot about Shakespeare.
Well, you guys are, you guys have been not correcting the language, challenging the language of the complete works of William Shakespeare revised, the sacred text. You are challenging it, going, well, this is not what they say in the real production of Hamlet. What? Excuse me? What?
No, I mean, when I graduated from Northwestern, I swore that I was only ever going to do Shakespeare. Only classical theater, only ever going to perform in Shakespeare festivals, and then I realized that there's no living there. But that was absolutely I ever wanted to do with my life. And for a long time, I thought I was going to be like a Shakespeare. I thought I was going to be a preeminent Shakespearean scholar until I discovered that that's not so much fun when you're debating whether it's it or in a, you know, a one line for 20 years.
Some people, I think, probably think that that's enormously fun, but it's not that much fun for you guys. Yeah. But you guys have directed and acted in... "Quote unquote real Shakespeare." Yeah,
that's true. I when I started directing about 15 years ago, I almost exclusively directed Shakespeare. So that's padded my resume quite a bit. And I acted in it quite. I actually fell into acting it. I thought for sure I'd be more like a comedian, like a Robin Williams or something when I was a kid. I thought, you know, be Robin Williams. That's who I want to be. And then actually the first Shakespeare show I ever did was Midsummer Night's Dream with Matt Rippey.
Oh.
In high school. I believe he was Theseus. He might correct me on that. And I was Flute. Thisbe/Thisbe. So I was the one in drag, and Matt was the studly looking one.
So it is a return to former Rippey glories.
Don't talk to me about Rippey and glory.
It was scary.
I was just going to say I'm not directing. I've never have been and never really wanted to be on the directing side of the table.
Really, just only ever acting.
Yeah, only ever acting or studying and geeking out on, but never particularly directing. I've always loved the fact that when you're an actor, you're sort of responsible for your sphere and the people that affect your sphere, and when you're a director, it's such a broad focus that to me that was never as much fun.
Well, I find that definitely. When I used to get TV jobs, you know, I would always love those gigs because all I would have to do is do my job, just learn my lines, hit my marks, and not have to worry about the whole thing.
No, but I mean, And the same is true of theater. It's not blah 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 my line, but it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's your job to take care of your character and the sphere around your character as your character interacts with other people.
Right.
But it is wonderfully, gloriously not your job. If the set is ugly or if that actor is having problems, it's you cover your own little world,
right.
And I love that. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, how much, because I dare say that you guys know Shakespeare maybe more, a little bit more than some of us who first started with the Redux Shakespeare Company. How fun is it? How much fun is it then to be doing this complete work show? And how weird is it? How much of a challenge is it?
It's a little challenging in terms of, I mean, like I said the other day, I mean, when I was younger and skinnier, I played Romeo 3 times. And so I'll get into the groove. I mean, these are lines that I've probably forgotten, you know, in the mist of youth. But I'll get in a role, and all of a sudden you'll stop me, and I'm like, oh, I'm in the middle of a line that has never existed in the Redux Shakespeare script at all, but
right.
It's just floating around somewhere in my head. And so it's a little liberating in a way because I mean, while we want to stay true and grounded and really try to maintain the integrity of the characters, at least what we're trying to do, it is a little liberating to be able to take the piss out of it when you really want to.
Well, and for me, this is the homecoming of all homecomings, because not only did I grow up in Belgium and I'm now going back to Belgium to perform for the first time, but also when I was in drama school in London, saw you, Austin Titchener, as well as Reed Martin and Adam Long, performing this show in the West End, and now to have this sort of all circle back. That was, what, 50, 70?
Yes. 70 years ago. Thank you. Thank you so much for making me feel so old.
It's great. And Shakespeare, for me, Shakespeare and theater are so closely tied together. Certainly the first Shakespeare show I saw, if not, I think possibly the first play I ever saw when I was 10, maybe 9, was Kenneth Branagh in Henry V on stage at Stratford-upon-Avon in England. So so that's always been very much tied together.
And, well, yeah. And I know, because you play Hamlet, I know you've been struggling with a couple of the lines where the speeches, Hamlet speeches, aren't as you know them
right.
from the real play.
Yeah, because I've played Horatio twice and Guildenstern once, and you hear those lines and you hear the rhythms and you know what comes next
right.
and it's very hard to, particularly some of the Hamlet speeches, which in the reduced version jump, there's one line in and then two lines cut and then one line back and then two lines cut and remembering those cuts is harder than remembering the line.
Doing a line that's not even their own.
Right, right.
Somebody else's line or from a different part of the play or that kind of thing.
And I think one of the great things about the RSC doing this play, sometimes the problem when you see other companies do it is that one of the glories of the complete works as we do it is that it should be done, performed by guys who could do real Shakespeare if they wanted to. And they're doing it this way instead. I just think that adds a level of gravitas, a level of bottom, as Stephen Fry would say, to the production. I think makes it funnier.
Well, and that's one of the things that I loved seeing it many years ago in the West End was that feeling that it was the first time I'd ever seen a comedy show for Shakespeare geeks that sort of melded those two worlds. That I felt like I could be sort of totally into Shakespeare and love it, and yet still laugh my butt off, and that was great.
Cool.
The thing is, what's great about the complete works show is that it feels like the people doing it know the. When I first read the script, lo these many years ago, I mean the great thing about it is that all the jokes, you know, are funny on one level, but then if you look at them on another level from the Shakespeare nerd point of view,
yeah,
it's really funny. and there's a certain amount of playfulness, I think, that at least I try when I direct real Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain amount of playfulness that I think more Shakespeare productions that aren't necessarily the comedies can stand to gain from. I mean,
right.
In many ways, Hamlet is a hilarious play. Hamlet's a funny guy.
Yes, yes. He's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy and therefore has a rapier wit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much. And, I think more, you know, Macbeth is funny, but not in that yuck kind of way. And I think that sense of, you know, so many productions I see of those two big ones anyway. Or even I said Romeo and Juliet is really a comedy up to the act break, mm-hmm. Up to intermission. It really should play like a comedy. Everybody's having fun. Mercutio's still alive, and mm-hmm. and you have and it's teenagers and fun. It should have that lightness to it. And then when the real stuff comes down, then that's, you know, that comes crashing down around them. In too many productions I see, it's just they're playing the tragedy to the hilt, and it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that Tiger used the word low, L-O, in conversation. That's already way beyond my abilities. I just wanted to add that.
This is Nathan Marshall with WTRF Channel 7 News in Wheeling, West Virginia, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Oh, yeah.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In Belgium and Holland. Come to Europe and catch Matt Rippey, Jeff Marlowe, and Tiger Reel performing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged and revised in 28 different cities in Belgium and Holland until March 31st. We start performing here in the U.S. again on March 16th with stops in Reston, Virginia, Worcester, Mass., Manchester, New Hampshire, Ithaca, New York, Algona, Iowa, Duluth, Minnesota, and Batavia, Illinois. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information.
Now, Jeff, this tour of Belgium and Holland is, as you mentioned before, a kind of return to the streets of your youth. You grew up in Belgium?
I grew up in Belgium, in Oudergem.
Wow. Oh, well done. Thank you. Why, and two, do you still have any Flemish?
Actually, I'm not sure if I grew up in Oudergem. Maybe it was in Tervuren, I don't remember.
Oh, it's all lost in the mist.
It's all lost in the mist. But yeah, I lived in a, went to the British School of Brussels, lived in a Flemish neighborhood, and most of the shops that we went to were in a French neighborhood. So I was all kinds of multicultural growing up.
So, and I imagine Flemish neighborhoods are just, with the streets are just running with phlegm. Is that, that's again, a joke for the 10-year-olds listening.
And wooden clogs, yes. Wooden clogs floating in phlegm.
That's and have you stuck your fingers in any? Hang on, never mind. Let's go there again.
Yes. We've already used that one. I still retain. I was fluent in French when we left. That's still, I can still sort of understand it fluently, but can't really put a sentence together. And the I could count basically in Flemish, and you know, play with kids in the street. That kind of just gesturing, not much Flemish remaining. But I will say that the Dutch, that as a language, Flemish, aka Dutch, is not the most beautiful sounding language. But to me, it's the most beautiful sound in the world. I love hearing it because it reminds me of childhood in every possible way.
Well, and can you even compare being a kid in being an American kid in Belgium versus being, you know, an American kid growing up here? Or did you spend your entire youth there and not come here until you were older?
I was 9 when we moved back, so okay. It was pretty much formative years. And it was very different. I mean, I was growing up in bucolic. I don't know. It was a pretty woodsy suburb of Brussels, and then moved to New York City, right smack in the middle of Manhattan, right at age 9. So,
bit of a culture shock. Sure.
I never really had the. I never really had the American experience, or certainly was sort of wading through culture shock through most of the American experience as a child, even when we got back.
Tiger, what did he miss?
Yeah.
Well, there's Star Wars, Star Trek.
See, now this is Tiger. I wish I were on the road with you, because you and I would, could, and will, and shall be bonding over the nerd geekery. Pop quiz, hot shot, Kirk or Picard?
Kirk.
Wow.
If you asked me that 10 years ago, I would have said Picard.
Interesting.
I think Kirk has come back around into the love.
Into the love, yes.
And not for nothing, there's a big connection between sci-fi nerds and Shakespeare nerds, I believe.
All right, expound.
Well,
hell forth.
I had nothing prepared for this.
I think you're absolutely right. I totally agree.
Well, even from an acting standpoint, I mean, you know, you say Picard, and you know, Patrick Stewart. Complete lineage from Shakespeare.
Well, and William Shatner, to give him the boy his due.
Yeah,
played up in Stratford, Canada, a lot.
Did you ever see his Antony?
No.
There was some. It was on television at some point, pre-Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's as Shatnerian as you'd expect, but you know, for Antony, it kind of works.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a huge amount of crossover between those actors because you just need if you're successful at being a Shakespearean actor, mm-hmm. you can hit the same high notes, big notes, while still being real and grounded in the reality situation that exists in good science fiction.
Yes.
I think that's why there. In fact, I knew one of the casting directors for Star Trek, Deep Space Nine. It was Voyager. Uh-huh. And they said they explicitly looked for Shakespearean actors or ones that had a lot of that on their resume because they knew that there was just a type of thing they could go for. And then you know, things like The Tempest and Midsummer Night's Dream and Macbeth. Macbeth. Have that supernatural / science fiction quality to it.
Yeah.
And in fact, in the same school that Matt and I attended, there was a production of The Tempest that I was Caliban in that was set on a planet, just like Forbidden Planet.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Neat, yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, Tiger, but we are rehearsing next week in London, and Jean-Luc Picard is performing on the London stage as we speak. So you can actually ask that. Oh, are you all right? You all right?
I'm sorry. I think I hurt myself. I got to get a mop. I think I just...
Yes, you just had a nerdgasm. That's what that was.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your chocolate waffles via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, little Dutch boy Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Andy Clark. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Nathan Marshall from WTRF in West Virginia. Next week we'll chat with our old friend Davey Naylor, who is stage managing our Belgium and Holland tour. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 220th, 660th. Of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt.
My lord, I think I saw your father yesternight.
Would the night were come.
Knight.
Mark me.
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark.
Revenge my murder.
My lord, this is strange.
There are more things in heaven and earth, so piss off. To be or not to be, that is the question.
Come, my lord.
Get thee to a nunnery. Speak the speech trippingly on the tongue.
Before the play.
I'll take the ghost word for £1,000. Now, mother, what's the matter?
Thou wilt not murder me.
Oh, no, a rat! Dead for a ducat, dead!
Now, Hamlet, where's Polonius?
At supper.
Where's my father?
Dead!
Sweet Ophelia!
Alas, poor York, but soft, here comes the queen!
Lay her in the earth. Sweets to the sweet! Hold off the earth a while!
It is I, Omelet, the cheese, Danish!
The devil take thy soul!
Give us the foils!
One for me! Oh, I am slain!
I am poisoned!
I follow thee, the rest is silence! Time? 41 seconds! Yes!
Yes, it's a new world record!
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.